Welcome back to Book Therapy. This is episode 11. This is Rob Cohen, and it's been a couple weeks, and I know I promised you last time we spoke that I was going to give you a Jack Reacher podcast, so this is going to be it. It's been a rough couple weeks just trying to find microphone time, but I have been reading a lot. I've read, other than the latest Jack Reacher novel, I did read three other books, one which was passable, one which was pretty good, and one which was pretty awful. So three books all along the spectrum. The one that was pretty good was by an author that I've read before. The ones that were passable and that were awful were both by authors that I'd never read before. The one that I thought was awful, I'm not going to read any more of that, that author's books. But the one that was passable, I'll have to think a little bit further about whether I want to read any more. But we'll get to those three books another time. Right now we're going to talk all Jack Reacher, and the 17th Jack Reacher novel entitled A Wanted Man that just came out in paperback a few weeks ago. Now, I'm not going to go through all 17 books. I'm not going to try and describe for you the plots and twists and all the details of all 17 books, because frankly, you don't want to hear it, and I don't remember them all. But what I will do is give you a little bit of insight into who Jack Reacher is, in case you don't know, or in case your only exposure to Jack Reacher is the Tom Cruise version in the movie that came out last year called Jack Reacher, which was based on the 9th book in the Jack Reacher series entitled One Shot. But I'm going to give you a little bit of the true Jack Reacher. I'll give you a bit of a review of the Tom Cruise movie, pull out some of the books that I thought were especially noteworthy amongst the 17 book canon so far, and also give you a little bit of a tidbit into some tongue-in-cheek wordplay that Lee Child kind of poked a little fun at in this last book, A Wanted Man. So we'll start with that, actually. If you've listened to the podcast in the past, you know that one of the other authors that I read fairly often is David Baldacci. In fact, just as an aside, his latest book, The Hit, is what I'm reading right now. I think I'm chapter 3 or 4, so wait a couple weeks and I'll give you all the info on how I felt about that book. But anyways, amongst the different series of books that David Baldacci writes, one of them, which is only about two books into the series so far, involves a character by the name of John Puller. John Puller is a military investigator, and by all similarities, he seems to be Jack Reacher, both in size, in stature, in physical prowess, in fighting skills, in superior intellect, and it's been said by many people, not just me, that John Puller is clearly a takeoff on Jack Reacher and a poor takeoff at best. And I have to agree with that, because the two John Puller books that I've read, neither of them have been particularly exciting. It's difficult, by the way, to not think of Jack Reacher when you're reading the two John Puller books, which unfortunately does a disservice to the Jack Reacher novels, because John Puller just isn't as exciting or dynamic as Reacher, and the books just do not resonate or provide that same level of excitement that the Reacher novels do. So it's unfair to have that image of Jack Reacher while John Puller is running around South Florida, I think, like in the past, or the mountains of Virginia, like in the very first John Puller book. But anyways, I think that Lee Child is well aware of who the inspiration for John Puller is, because in this latest book, A Wanted Man, there's a bit of a poke at John Puller, and you'll catch my drift in a little while. So in A Wanted Man, Reacher is hitchhiking, like he typically does, in the middle of Nebraska this time, and he gets into a car with three other people, two males and a female. He gets in the back seat. It's the middle of the night, and he's trying to hitch a ride towards Washington, D.C. But he tells the people he can go to Chicago, figures he can get a Greyhound to Washington, D.C., and off they go. What he doesn't know is that there are roadblocks being set up, and that there's some reason why the people in the car are being searched for. So thus is the mystery of the people in the car. Who's good, who's bad, how does Jack Reacher fit into this? But what's interesting is, as the mystery unfolds, various new characters come out. Amongst them are local law enforcement in the Nebraska town in which the pickup of Reacher's the hitchhiker takes place. And the sheriff, ends up meeting an unfortunate demise. And so his second-in-command deputy is tasked with taking over for the sheriff. And wouldn't you be surprised that this deputy's name is Deputy Puller. Same spelling, P-U-L-L-E-R. And now Deputy Puller doesn't have an incredibly lengthy role in this book. In fact, I think he's only mentioned on maybe 5 to 10 pages. But Reacher and his cohort, the female partner that he has in this book, they never miss a chance to make this guy Puller look like a moron. In fact, when Puller first appears on the scene, he is at the site of a dead body, and as Reacher comes up upon Deputy Puller, he notices that that Deputy Puller is puking over the dead body and doesn't seem to be capable of dealing with the severe trauma and seriousness of the situation. So that, right there, you get the feeling of who Deputy Puller is. And then later on, Reacher, as he's talking to his partner, they talk about the about Deputy Puller, as in, I think the quote is, it's like trying to teach Hindu to a beagle. And then as they're trying to strategize a course of action, I think Reacher says, well, we'll probably get Puller killed. And the response is, well, in which case, we'll be helping the gene pool. So Deputy Puller is not the brightest bulb, and he's made to look like a buffoon. And it's clear that Lee Child knows that John Puller was a direct takeoff of Jack Reacher. And this is the way that Lee Child's going to dig at him, at Baldacci, a little bit by making Deputy Puller look like just like the comedic relief, basically, for this this lengthy novel. So anyways, I wanted to share that with you just right off the bat. When I think of Jack Reacher, I think of a mindless, enjoyable read. And that's not to say that the books aren't complex. In fact, in a lot of the books, they are incredibly complex. But different from, say, a Harry Bosch novel of Michael Connelly or a Jonathan Kellerman novel involving Alex Delaware, Jack Reacher is pretty much a man without a past. So we don't really have to delve too deeply into the psyche of a Reacher. We don't need to look at the demons that are plaguing him or any of his backstory that might have some impact on how he's going to address the matter or deal with the situation. We don't have to deal with that stuff. Harry Bosch is always talking about looking into the abyss. He's got demons. He's a former tunnel rat in Vietnam, and he feels as if he's the only one who's able to speak for the dead, and that's his mission in life. Reacher is actually the exact opposite. He doesn't want anything to do with anybody. He just wants to drift. He's a formal military policeman, spent 13 years in the MPs, and pretty much mustered out on his own. I think it was in, which book was it? It was in one of the more recent books. I think it was the 15th book, called The Affair. The 16th book, The Affair, which actually takes place 6 months before the very first Reacher book, Killing Floor. But at the end of The Affair is when Reacher basically goes and resigns from the military and says that he's had enough. He's seen too much of the politics. He sees the government and he sees the military getting too big. He knows that cuts are going to be coming. He knows that the wrong people are in power. And he just decides he doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. So he basically walks out of the military and thus starts his journey as a wanderer. He's a drifter. He's just somebody who's like Kung Fu walking the earth. And, trouble seems to find him despite all of his intentions of trying to avoid it. Now, what does he do for money? He's got a bank account. He's got his military pension, I think is what it is. He operates by getting money from Western Union. And where necessary, he does odd jobs here and there for a few days at a time and, uses that to supplement whatever other monies that he needs. He typically wears his clothes for 2 to 3 days at a time, goes into stores, buys new clothes, and throws the old ones out. And he's always very, very clear that when he settles into a motel or any place he's going to stay for the night, he's got his toothbrush and his money and wallet, and that's about all he needs. So there's a freedom to Reacher that I think a lot of us don't have the opportunity to experience. We're stuck to our desks. We're chained to our homes. We are really unable to get out, see the world, and turn our back on society. And So there's a freedom that we get to see with Jack Reacher. I think I mentioned it before that Jack Reacher is kind of the person that we all wish we could be. The one who doesn't care about ramifications, is not worried about getting caught, really has the physical prowess to take on any type of attacker, has the superior intelligence to outwit any potential villain, and really seems to have a life that is, it works for him. He does wrestle, I think it was in the second or third book, either it was Tripwire or Die Trying, I think it was in Tripwire, where he actually inherits a house and contemplates settling down with his former general's daughter, a district attorney, or a wealthy attorney, and he has this house that he inherited from the general when the general dies, and he contemplates settling down and starting a life. And he actually goes through a bit of a emotional crisis as he tries to come to grips with the idea of being chained to this house, of property taxes and mowing the lawn and utilities and all of those other things that are typical of the homeowner. And I think it's at the end of the book where he basically decides that's not what he wants. He doesn't want to be chained to a home. He doesn't want those responsibilities. And he's frequently brought this up to other characters throughout the book series when they ask him where he lives or what he needs. And he says, well, I don't have a home and I don't need one. Where's the sanity in being chained to a house and shelling out money for property taxes and insurance and gardening and utilities and all that kind of stuff? He has what he needs. He's got his freedom. He's got his walking shoes. Now, one of the things that Reacher does that I really have a hard time believing, and look, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief in the Reacher novels, but one of the things is Reacher is truly a massive, massive man. I mean, he's like 6'5 or 6'6, and he weighs 200 to 250 pounds. He's not particularly clean cut or attractive. Not to say that he doesn't have luck with the ladies, but he's not a movie idol marquee type of a specimen. And yet, Reacher does a lot of his traveling by hitchhiking. And I just find it interesting that in this day and age that there would be people out there who would pick up a hitchhiker in the middle of the night, let alone somebody like Jack Reacher. Now, in A Wanted Man, in this latest book, Book 17, the people who picked him up had a reason for doing so. And in Reacher's inimitable way, he rationalizes out the reasons why he was picked up in the middle of the night in Nebraska, in the middle of December. And that's actually an interesting thing about Reacher, that he has attributes of a Sherlock Holmes that you wouldn't necessarily expect from somebody of his physical stature. I don't recall the physical being of a Sherlock Holmes as having any dramatic impact or importance to the resolution of the mysteries. But in Reacher's case, I think his physical size and his rough and tumble demeanor actually do a service of masking his superior intelligence and intellect. And we as a reader have the opportunity to see that in some occasions. Now, in all the books, we get an insight into Reacher's mindset, but there are only a couple of books where Reacher actually is telling us a story in first person. The vast majority of the books, Reacher is telling the story is being told to us in third person, and I don't really know why. I haven't really tried to analyze the books one at a time to figure out which books were in first person for a reason and why the other books were in third person. But nevertheless, I don't know that it makes a big difference, because you get the opportunity to see, whether from inside Reacher's mind or from the relative fly on the wall, which is actually the fly on the wall of the brain of Reacher, because you get to the insight into Reacher's reasoning process as he is attempting to work his way out of situations and identify, the resolutions of certain crimes that are taking place or villains who are out there. Now, I heard in an interview with Lee Child once where somebody had asked him about his writing style. Does he map out the stories one at a time? Does he outline the story before he starts writing? And Child basically said that he just starts typing and Reacher goes where he goes. And, you know, it's interesting because Reacher, similar to a Sherlock Holmes, but maybe dissimilar from a lot of other heroes in literature, Reacher kind of has taken on a persona all his own. And you'll see there's Wikipedia pages that are dedicated to him in which they actually create a biography for him and utilizing the information contained in the books. And I think that Child also has given Reacher a bit of an individuality where he says he just starts typing and Reacher goes where he goes. And if Reacher finds himself painted into a corner, then Reacher finds a way out. And that's something that very, very often I'll be reading and I'll see something that I'll read something where Reacher, you know, finds himself in a corner or whatever it is. And you'll say, there's no way he's getting out of this. There's nothing that he can do. And yet, voila, something happens that it just happens to resolve the issue for him. And thank God Reacher's found a way out. And they're usually implausible. You know, a savior comes by at just the right time, or somebody's got a gun to Reacher's head, and right as the guy's about to pull the trigger, another bullet, another gunshot goes off, and you know, Reacher's would-be killer is found dead, or you know, or slumps over dead, or something like that. There's always something, so it's interesting. But again, when I say that it's a mindless read, it's a mindless read for those purposes, I don't give that a whole lot of concern. I don't read it to find fault with the logic. I don't read it to make fun of the ways that Reacher gets out of trouble. I don't even read it for the mysteries so much, because in some of these, I'll be honest, some of the mysteries aren't that compelling. But I read it because of Jack Reacher, because after 17 books, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get somebody who's very short of words, but has an incredible intelligence and has a very, very quick wit. And he just has the capability of taking on enemies that that we wish we were capable of taking on ourselves. He's able to fight for the little person. He's able to take on the fight. He doesn't have to. In a lot of circumstances, he would prefer to just walk away, and yet he gets embroiled in these issues against his will, where he has no option but to fight back and to preserve himself. And in the meantime, he finds some damsel in distress or a town in need of help, or even in one of the later books, I think it was called Worth Dying For, I think he pretty much saves an entire town of yokels. And we all wish we had that heroism inside us. We had that ability to stand up to a bully and not have any fear that we're going to lose this fight. And I don't think that Reacher ever has any fear that he's going to lose a fight. And one of the reasons I think that's true is because he doesn't have fear of losing. I think he doesn't know how to lose, but I don't think that he is worried or fearful of what would happen if he lost. And if that includes death, then that includes death. And I don't get the feeling that Reacher is particularly scared or fearful of death either. And so I think we'd all like to be able to have that type of a persona and that type of a confidence in our skills and a devil-may-care type attitude. And so to be able to live vicariously through Jack Reacher is just incredibly fun and liberating. And, you know, after 17 books, you feel like you know a character pretty well. You know when there's in-jokes. You know when there's specific traits that Reacher exhibits. And you start to see some of the same tactics. And you start to see some of the same thought processes that Reacher employs. For example, I know it's been in more than one book that Reacher has described walking up and down stairs and indicating that in order to remain quiet while walking up and down the stairs, you have to stay to the outside of the stairs because the middle of the stairs is where the board is at its weakest and where it's more likely to creak or crack or make a sound. And believe me, I think about that every single time I leave the house, when I have to leave early in the morning and I don't want to wake anybody up, or I'm coming to bed late at night and I don't want to wake anybody up. I am conscious of the Jack Reacher, walk to the outside of the stairs so that you don't make a sound. And I know that it's come up on a couple of different occasions in the Reacher novels themselves. Now, of the 17 novels, two of them, I think it's two of them, are told from, are basically, what do you call them? Genesis stories, I think is what they're called, where we learn a little bit more about Jack Reacher while he was in the military. So two of those books, one of them is called The Affair, the other one is called The Enemy. Those two books take place while Reacher was still in the military, and then the remaining 15 books take place basically in current time. And the books are not, they don't really flow one from the other. There are a couple of books where you can see that having read one, it does lead into the next one. But the connection between the books is usually very, very nuanced and minimal. And it's not as if any of the books have any great cliffhangers where you have to read the previous book before you read the next one. For instance, this last book, A Wanted Man, takes place. It starts with Reacher in the middle of Nebraska at 12 o'clock at night in the middle of December. Well, two books previous to that, called Worth Dying For, Reacher was in a small town in Nebraska, and in fact, it ends with him killing the bad guys and walking out to, or getting a ride from one of the townspeople out to a crossroads of two interstates and let out, and there is where where Reacher is going to pick up, is going to start hitchhiking. So you know that Worth Dying For ends, and then A Wanted Man picks up right after that. Does that mean that you can't read A Wanted Man without having read Worth Dying For? No, of course not. That's not what that means, because in fact, Reacher never mentions Worth Dying For. I think he may mention just in passing what may have happened in Nebraska, but at the end of Worth Dying For, but it doesn't have any impact on A Wanted Man at all. It doesn't have any impact on the story, and truly you could pick up any one of these books all on their own and not be lost at all, not have any concern about being aware of what's going on. Now, I think that, I'm trying to remember which book it was, where I thought it was between the second and the third book. No, third book and the fourth book. Maybe it was the third book and the fourth book. Maybe it was between Tripwire and Running Blind, where Reacher gets involved with the general's daughter. And in fact, I think he was with her through the Tripwire and then with her at the beginning of Running Blind, and then decides that he's going to leave her, and he's not interested in settling down and decides to go ahead and start his wandering all over again. That does sound right. So even there, it's really not a situation where one book trails directly into the next one. It really doesn't. But Reacher truly is he's the wrong man, as Hitchcock would say. He's the wrong man in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's like John McClane in Die Hard. He's Sherlock Holmes. He's all these characters wrapped up in one. And yeah, it starts to get a little far-fetched. You start to see 17 books, and each one is Reacher being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But then you think about the fact that Kung Fu was, like, I don't know how many years that ran on television. That guy seemed to always get into trouble, so why shouldn't Reacher have the same problems? And in fact, you look at it, all types of superheroes are like that. Whether it's Superman, or Batman, or Spider-Man, or Jack Reacher, they're always in the middle of some sort of a crisis, and when you sit there and think, well, how could this person always be in the middle of this crisis? Well, that's just who they are. That's who Spider-Man is. That's who Superman is. And that's who Jack Reacher is. He may not be a superhero among the lights of the comic book characters, but I think in some respect, that's really what he is. He's the vigilante who walks the earth all over America. Traditionally, these books are taking place in America. Only a couple of them has Reacher actually left the country. All over America, and he doesn't want any trouble, but trouble seems to find him, and that's pretty much sums up what a Jack Reacher story is. Now, the one book that seemed to be a little bit different was One Shot, which is the one that was made into the movie with Jack Reacher. Because in that respect, it wasn't just Jack Reacher being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That wasn't the case. In One Shot, or if you've seen the movie Jack Reacher, it's the same premise. A former a sniper in the military opens up on a crowd of people and kills, I don't know, five or six people. And instead of confessing, instead of answering any questions of the police, all he says is, "Get Jack Reacher." And of course, what we later find out is that Reacher saw on television the reporting of the attack or of the killings, and he goes to this small town, which in the book, I think it was Indianapolis, but in the movie it was Pittsburgh, and he goes to investigate on his own. So in that respect, in that book, it was a little bit different. It wasn't just Reacher hitchhiking for a ride and being picked up by a woman who turns out to be a damsel in distress, like in the fifth book, Echo Burning, which, by the way, was a pretty disappointing book. Now, that one took place in Mila, Texas. I've mentioned to you before, for whatever reason, I have a hard time with weather. Weather, to me, has a dramatic impact on the pacing of a book. From the standpoint of if it's in the middle of a snowstorm, it feels cold, I start to feel cold, I start to read slower. If it's in the middle of the desert, it's hot, all I can think about when it's hot is wanting to go to sleep, in which case the pages seem to go get turned a little bit slower. Echo Burning took place in the middle of Texas, I think it was, and it really was just a slow book. It didn't really have a whole lot of excitement. The damsel in distress was not really a damsel in distress. There was something to do with local politics, and it was just pretty disappointing. Now, the only other book, of the 17, there's only one book that I will tell you that I really, truly did not like, and that was book number 7 called Persuader. I didn't like it because it just seemed to be, it didn't go anywhere. Reacher's hired by, I don't know if it's the FBI or the CIA, I think it was the FBI, to go undercover at a mansion, and he's acting as like the butler or the chauffeur, and in the meantime he discovers there are bad things going on at the house, and the man of the house is actually a criminal, and it just got to be too far-fetched for me. The ending was real far-fetched. For all intents and purposes, Jack Reacher was dead. He should have been dead. Every sign pointed to him being dead, and yet somehow or other he managed to survive. And then the closing of it, the getting of the bad guy, was just way too easy, and it really didn't do it for me. So that was the only one that I would say that I really did not like. It just wasn't a strong enough Jack Reacher novel for me. Now, speaking of the conclusion of that book, Persuader, and talking about some of the other books, and if you've seen the movie Jack Reacher, then you'll know what I'm going to talk about right now. Dissimilar from a Sherlock Holmes who always worked in close connection with the police, or a Harry Bosch who is a police officer, or an Alex Delaware who works in close connection with the police, or even an Elvis Cole or Joe Pike who are private investigators. Jack Reacher doesn't seem to have any compunction about murder. And at one point, it really got to me, the realization that at times, Jack Reacher can be a cold-blooded murderer. He has a sense of morality. He has a sense that the law will not always do justice, and that he needs to take justice into his own hands. And if you saw the Jack Reacher movie, then you'll know what I mean as you get to the end of the movie. And in Persuader, it was the same thing. It was a very cold-blooded murder to end the book. And at one point, I don't know if I was 9 or 10 books into the series, and I came to that realization. It struck me that all of the previous books, or the vast majority of the previous books, ended with Jack Reacher killing the bad guy. Very, very few of them, and I can't think of any offhand, that Reacher actually turned the bad guy over to the police and walked off into the sunset. So it's difficult for my sense of morality to applaud a hero like that, because not just being a lawyer, but I don't agree with the vigilante justice. Yes, I can understand the times in which one would think that it's appropriate or acceptable or even necessary. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not something that I really support, because I tend to believe that the justice system should work, or that the police should do their jobs effectively. But Reacher doesn't seem to really have a problem with it. And he certainly doesn't seem to think that anybody out there is ever going to find him, because he's just going to walk off into the sunset, hitch a ride, end up in the middle of who knows where, and without any way to track him or find him, then he's got nothing to worry about. But there is that cold-bloodedness to him that that comes out in a lot of the books, in the vast majority of the books. So that was something that, you know what, I can see that as a liberating thing as well. We all wish that we could rectify wrongs without having any repercussions. But then we stop and think and say, well, that's just not the right way to do things. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't, you know, shout and holler and applaud when he does take out a bad guy. And in some situations, you'll notice that that the killing of the bad guy isn't actually in self defense or is in response to him being attacked. But some of them, like at the end of Persuader, I think it was, he had effectively walked out of the mansion, been, you know, left for dead, was miles away. He specifically makes his way back to the house, finds a way back into the house, walks up to the bad guy, shoots him in the head point blank, if I remember correctly, drops the gun, walks out, and gets on the train, and he's gone. And so that was a little bit more cold-blooded than I was expecting, and certainly more cold-blooded than I'm used to in some of the other books that I read. Now, of the 17 books, I'm going to highlight, I think what I've got here are seven. The seven that I think are far and above outstanding amongst the other 10 books in the series. And this is the order they're in. Number three was Tripwire. I think I put that in the top five of the books I read in 2011. And when I talk about the books as being good or bad, the criteria that I use to judge the strength of the book is the strength of the villain. If the villain's really, really bad, if he is nasty and scary and psychotic and without any problems committing horrific crimes, that's all the better. In Tripwire, the third book, that was exactly what you had. You had a Vietnam vet who had lost, I don't know, a hand or something like that. And this guy was bad. He was kidnapping people. He was holding people hostage. He was really just a nasty, nasty person. So when he finally got his just desserts, it was real, real deserved. And that was the third book, Tripwire. Now, the next one that I liked a lot was The Enemy, number 8. This was a flashback, took place in 1990 before Reacher had gotten out of the military, so he was still in the military. I love the military books. I wish that Lee Child would write more books that involved Reacher as he was in the military, because I am fascinated by these types of military police procedurals. One of my favorite books of all time was The General's Daughter by Nelson DeMille, and that was specifically what this was. And I wish I could find more of these books, but I don't know how to find them. I have to look a little bit more. It's kind of a subgenre that I haven't really given a lot of thought to. But as I'm talking about it now, The Enemy, The General's Daughter, just really, really fascinating. Not only to learn about the procedures in the military and you know, everything happening on base, and the generals and the all the people who are superior officers who've got something to hide, but then the mystery itself and the enemy involved, I think, the murder of a hooker and the missing briefcase and strippers and all kinds of stuff. And it was really, really a fantastic book. Obviously, the ninth book, One Shot, after having read the first nine books, when I got to One Shot, it was clear that was the book that should have been made into the movie. It really stands alone as a complete mystery. It's not terribly brutal, It has the psychological aspect of the sniper killing five people with his six or seven shots. It's got a little bit of, you know, the bad guys are truly, truly bad, but there's also a little bit of intrigue involving the government and things like that, or at least the local government, as well as the interplay between the defense attorney who's on Reacher's assisting and the district attorney who happens to be the defense attorney's father, and who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, and who's playing both sides. It really had all of the right it had all the right criteria to really be a good adapted book. The next one was Bad Luck and Trouble. This is the 11th book. Now, this one actually took place in Los Angeles. It's the only book, I think, that took place in Los Angeles. And it involved Reacher reconnecting with his fellow MPs, his group of MPs that he worked very closely with while he was in the military. I don't really remember the mystery so much, but I truly enjoyed the interplay between Reacher and the three other members of his team. Reacher still takes the laboring oar as far as the investigation and all of the interactions with the bad guy, but he did have the support, which was comforting for once to see that Jack Reacher wasn't required to shoulder it all on his own. I think the number one best book of all of the Reacher books was number 13. Interestingly enough, that's my favorite number, number 13, called Gone Tomorrow. And this one has a fantastic opening. All you have to do is read the first couple chapters and you're hooked on this book. Reacher's in New York. He's on a subway. There's five people on the subway, and he's looking at them all. And one of them, he's going through his checklist because Reacher has been trained on this stuff. He knows that the fifth one is a suicide bomber. Absolutely outstanding. I mean, the book was so great. And not only that, the bad guy, and I'm not even going to tell you anything about that, but bad guy was so disgusting, so nasty, so brutal, that when Reacher finally got to take care of the bad guy, it was so satisfying. This is the one that needs to be made into the next movie. This one was fantastic, and it has ramifications all over the country, all over the world, international ramifications. It really would be a terrific, terrific book to adapt to the next for the next movie if they make one. Then you've got the 14th book, 61 Hours, a book that I mentioned before I didn't think I was going to like because it takes place in South Dakota in the middle of a snowstorm, but a terrific book. The local characters, and Reacher always finds local characters that he interacts with, and in this one you've got local law enforcement, were real compassionate characters. There was a witness to the crime who Reacher took a particular fondness for, and as bad things started happening in the community, you started to get a lot more amped up for Reacher. You got a lot more aggressive with Reacher, and you couldn't wait until he really took the bad guys down. So again, a wonderful, wonderful book as well. And then finally, number 16 was The Affair. This is the book that took place 6 months before Reacher first made his debut on Killing Floor. He's in the military. This is the case that led to his leaving the military. And it involved all kinds of, you know, murder and bad military people and nasty hires up and bureaucracy and all that kind of stuff that makes a good military police procedural, of which I need to find more, I think. So those are the books I've given you, I guess, 5, 6, 7 of them that I thought were the best. Now, that's not to say that the books aren't all terrific. They, believe me, a bad Reacher book is better than pretty much any other book on any day. You know, just like golf, a bad day at golf is better than the best day at work. And a bad Reacher book is still better than most anything else that you could be reading. And that was incredibly true recently, because when I read A Wanted Man, yeah, it wasn't that great. I mean, it was good, it was exciting, it was typical Jack Reacher, but compared with all the other Drek that I've been reading lately, it was just a welcome, welcome, comforting return to the character that I've grown very fond of and very close to over the past year and a half, because that's really the length of time it's taken me to read all these. I didn't know much about Jack Reacher before then. I was recommended to read Jack Reacher, The Killing Floor, to find out about Reacher by a friend of mine, and I picked up the first book, Killing Floor. I liked it. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was okay. I thought the mystery was a little bit weak. I liked the local law enforcement professionals that Reacher associated with. It has a very, very compelling opening scene where I think it takes place. I think it's in first person. Reacher is sitting in a diner drinking his coffee, which he loves his coffee. And he sees the police as they are surrounding the coffee shop and as they're making their move in to arrest him. So, again, a compelling start, a great way to open the series. I wonder if when Child started writing the books, if he had an idea of how the rest of the series would go, because it seemed like, especially between the third and fourth book, that he was trying to tie Reacher down with a girlfriend and the inheritance of the house and things like that, and that maybe at some point Lee Child said, you know what? He can't be tied down. He needs to be a wanderer. So I don't know. It'd be interesting if that was something that was always planned or if it was something that, again, he let Reacher, he started typing and Reacher did what Reacher did. So yeah, that'd be an interesting type of an issue to discuss with Lee Child. Now, about the movie. I like the movie. I like the movie because I already knew what was going on, what was going to happen. There were slight differences from the book, but not terribly significant. I thought Tom Cruise was fine, but I know Tom Cruise has the striking dissimilarities from a Jack Reacher, whereas Reacher is 6'5", 250. Tom Cruise is shorter than I am. I think he's 5'6", or 5'7", and he doesn't quite project the same massive physical specimen that that Jack Reacher is supposed to have. So I get that. That to me is less of the issue. What I felt most about the movie adaptation that was difficult, or not difficult, that was disappointing, were actually two things. One, from the start of the movie, you know that the guy who has requested Jack Reacher, the person who is in jail, the one who the cops believe committed these crimes, you know from the first minute that he didn't do it. And I seem to recall in the book that there was still some concern or question about whether the guy had done it. And Reacher, as he went through the investigation, became more aware of the fact that he wasn't the right guy who was being charged with this crime. But in the movie, I think you know within the first 5 minutes that it's not him. So that was a little disappointing because I seem to recall being surprised because Reacher changes his tune halfway through the book and really begins to believe that the guy didn't do it. So that was one issue. The other issue actually has to do with the portrayal by Tom Cruise. And this is what my problem is. Anytime that Jack Reacher would explain something, he would talk out his ideas, he would think out loud and come up with theories of what was going on and what the true villains were, how the murder was, all that stuff. He was talking out loud, which is something that had to be done because a lot of Reacher's intellect is internal. He doesn't do a lot of talking aloud. He actually will think aloud, and when whoever he's talking to says, well, what do you mean by that? He'll say, I'm not sure, you know, let's play it out, or let's see what happens, or I think I know, but I'll find out later. And in this situation, because it's a movie, he doesn't have that luxury. Reacher actually has to talk aloud what his thoughts are. He has to think aloud. But when he was doing so, it sounded so much like Tom Cruise from A Few Good Men. Like, he's standing there at the table trying to think about Markinson or Kendrick or Nichols, you know, or Jessup or whatever it is. It just sounded so much like it, and that takes you out of the movie, takes you out of the mindset of this is Jack Reacher, and it reminds you that this is Tom Cruise. So that was it was off-putting at times. The only other aspect that I thought was a little bit disappointing was the ending. The assault on where they've kidnapped the DA or the defense attorney. I seem to recall it being a lot more exciting in the book because more people were involved. There was actually a lot more hand-to-hand combat taking place in a house. This did not take place in a house. It takes place in at a construction site and on the whatever it is, a trailer where the administrative offices are. So that as well was a little bit disappointing because I thought that the ending to the book was so so exciting with the hand-to-hand combat going through the rooms in the house. But other than that, I thought it was really good. You know, if I hadn't read any of the books, if I didn't know anything about Jack Reacher, I probably really would have liked the movie and would have wanted to start reading the book. So from that standpoint, I think that they did a commendable job with the movie itself. I am interested to see if they make any more books in the movies. Like I said, I think Gone Tomorrow would make a fantastic book, a fantastic movie. And if anybody's listening, I encourage you to look to that one as the book to adapt for the next one. So that's it on Jack Reacher. I've got a couple more books I've read. Like I said, I'm going to talk about them in the next couple days. So stay tuned on that. This is Book Therapy. You can find me at Twitter, BookTherapy13, on Facebook at Facebook.com/BookTherapy. Or you can find me at RobCohen13.com or on Goodreads as Rob Cohen or whatever it is. Again, I'd love to get some ideas for new books. I'm reading the David Baldacci book right now called The Hit because I've just read so many books by brand new authors and been disappointed lately. I needed to get back to something comfortable and familiar. But I'm really looking forward to the book after this. I think is going to be The Woman in White by Wilkie Collins. I previously read Wilkie Collins' book, The Moonstone. If you don't know anything about Wilkie Collins, he was very, very good friends with Charles Dickens and is well regarded as being the very first to write the modern-day detective novel. And I think The Woman in White is a little bit detective, a little bit goth mystery, and maybe even a little ghost story. So I'm looking forward to that, but I had to get my fill of David Baldacci, so we're reading The Hit. And other than that, thanks for listening, and thank you for letting me lie on your couch.